They're like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in due season, and their leaves do not wither. There are two locations in the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures that make use of this tree image. One place is here in Psalm 1. The other is found in Jeremiah 17. They are remarkably similar. Jeremiah 17 says this at verse 7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. I get it. A tree planted by water is a tree that never loses touch with the source of its strength. A tree planted by water is not easily moved from its foundation. A tree planted by water is resilient. It bounces back from assault and challenge. A tree planted by water bears fruit, thereby justifies its existence. I get it. Those who trust in the Lord, they are like trees planted by water. Those who delight in the law of the Lord, they are like trees planted by water. How can it be then that in this present moment in my life, I do not feel much like that strong, resilient, fruitful tree? And I would ask if perhaps there's not a moment in your life when you too have questioned that. Psalm 1 gives me two choices. Delight in the law of the Lord and be like that tree. Follow the advice of the wicked and be more like chaff, fruitless, blowing in the wind, fit only to be cast aside and burned. I do not remember seeking the advice of the wicked. Yet in this moment of family medical crisis and the uncertainty it imposes upon our future, I find my tree-ness in question. How deep do my roots go? How solidly am I planted? Near the source of life-giving water? Can one, in a moment of challenge and crisis, even know their own tree-ness? Do you ever, have you ever questioned your own ability to withstand whatever life may be sending your way? Have you ever had a doubt? In those moments when we are aware of our own vulnerability and we are moved to question our own spiritual strength, shall we simply assume that somehow we have given ourselves over to the advice of the wicked? Is it not possible that in a time of drought and stress, that even a tree planted by water might question its own worth and resilience? Once again, a seemingly simple assignment of Scripture is just what the Spirit needs. Today is not the Scripture called for in the lectionary. It is the Scripture we chose for this day of celebration, to talk about the gift of Christian education and the importance of that in building strong, resilient, spiritual people in our children. And the day in which we put a tree in the ground to commemorate 175 years of Christian witness in this church. An appropriate day then to move away from the lectionary and select something else. Psalm 1 was that selection. Seems to me that the complicated truth to which this scripture points is that life is difficult. Our struggle is not over which outside voices we may choose, but rather which side of an internal dialogue we might embrace. A debate rages within each of us, I think. Shall we find our happiness by following our own devices, pursuing our own dreams, asserting our own autonomy? Or shall we give ourselves over completely to God, losing ourselves to God's purpose, and thereby, in a great biblical paradox, gain our lives by losing our lives? The first choice, you see, is fragile, and the psalmist knew it. It assumes that life should bend to our will and give us what we want. It tolerates no challenge to our personal agenda. It falls apart when our plans are destroyed by an unwanted diagnosis or a sudden change in employment status or anything else that does not fit into our plans. It leads to anger and resentment in our hearts when our aspirations are not achieved. But the second choice, the choice offered by the psalmist and the choice offered in Jeremiah, the second choice leads to strength. It endures through the challenges of life because it does not depend upon achieving our agenda, but it depends instead upon our staying connected to God's agenda of love and service and justice. Happiness, then, comes from knowing our lives belong to God and that our futures are secured by God. Life may be hard, but God is real and love endures. I have a simple message for us today. Do not despair. If both voices can be heard in your heart, it is human nature that we should struggle in this way. Do not despair if in a moment of crisis you might question your own spiritual strength. Even Jesus cried out from the cross in despair. Seek the things of God, and strength shall return. A few years ago, I tried to put these ideas into a video, and I ask now your tolerance if you have seen this before. The focus of this day makes showing this again appropriate. So once again, in this service, I direct your attention to the screen before you to watch a video I made reflecting upon our family. The video is called Like a Tree Planted by Water. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. In 1958, my grandparents celebrated their 35th wedding anniversary.
Now, most people make a big deal out of their 50th wedding anniversary, but for my grandparents, 35 years together was very special. 4 years earlier, my grandfather had been stricken with a massive stroke. For a while, none of us thought he would live. He had to learn to walk and to talk all over again, just like a child. He eventually made a remarkable recovery, but as remarkable as Grandpa was, none of us gave him much chance for a long life. No one believed that he would live to celebrate their 50th year together. Thus, the big 35th anniversary celebration. As with all such milestone celebrations, a very special gift was called for, and there was a great deal of family discussion around just what would make an appropriate gift for such an occasion. Well, I don't remember who came up with the solution, but I've always thought that the solution they reached was perfect. In honor of their loving 35 years together, we planted a tree. On the day of the big celebration, we planted the tree in the front yard of my grandparents' home. It was a sugar maple, and it was short and skinny. In their new subdivision of Pawpaw, Michigan, it was about the only tree around. All of the other new homes stood on square parcels of sand without a tree in sight. This was the first new tree on the block. I remember the look on my grandfather's face as he watched my father and my uncle plant that tree. There was some sadness in his eyes as he realized he could no longer participate in such work, but there was joy as well. There was the joy of knowing that something had been put in place that was durable and strong, that would withstand whatever the coming years might bring. I remember my grandparents standing together with their arms around each other. And then my grandmother spoke. "Daddy," she began, using her most affectionate address for him, "this tree will be here long after you and I are gone." Because of his stroke, my grandfather could only nod his understanding and hold her all the tighter. What has happened since we planted that tree? My grandfather is gone, but he surprised us all. He lived to be 80, and my grandparents eventually celebrated nearly 57 years together. My grandmother is 91 now and must live in a nursing home in Battle Creek. My father has been dead for 15 years. Both Grandpa and Grandma suffered with us through the shock of his death at age 52. My cousin Michael, with whom I played so hard that summer Sunday in 1958, Michael is gone as well. Somewhere in a box is a picture of Michael and me as happy 12-year-olds mugging for the camera in front of that tree. The last time I visited my grandmother in Pawpaw, just before she moved into the nursing home in Battle Creek, I drove past their old house. The house that I remembered as new and well-kept and above all sunny is old now, but the tree is still there. It has been changed by the years. The trunk is now nearly a foot thick, and somewhere during the past 37 years, some trauma caused the bark to split so that one side of the tree carries a thickly healed 8-inch scar. But the tree is straight and strong. Its roots are deep. they draw water from far beneath the surface, tapping a source of life that is endless and not subject to the seasonal occurrence of drought and flood. There is no fear in that tree. It has faced heat and cold, storm and wind. It is scarred and marked by the years, and yet it continues to be filled each spring with thousands of spiral flying maple seeds. So now I understand what Jeremiah was trying to say about living as God's people. All I have to do is remember the tree we planted for my grandparents in 1958. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit.